Chris, you were eating that Tua shit up, huh?
And then he's on the field after, soaking it in.
That's exactly the shit that I meant that you were eating up.
Yeah.
Right? Sitting by himself on the field.
Apparently he went out there to FaceTime his parents because they weren't at the game. And he wanted to do it right where the drive ended. Yeah. What an adorable thing.
Yeah. If that were my quarterback, I'd eat that up. Also, what the hell is he going to do if he completes three passes? Just relax, kid.
He was Tua of Tua. Heyo.
I mean, he came in here today singing a Tua song for reasons I don't believe.
Actually, no, he came in.
Tua.
He came in saying, both of you guys.
No, well, this is how it started.
That's because of the boomer size at Sports Minute. I'm tired of hearing that.
This is how it happened. He comes in here, and the first any of us are seeing him or hearing from him, it's just bleep you. That's all he says. We don't know whether it's directed at me or Mike or both of us, and we didn't know what it was about, but it was before Good Morning. And so then we started asking questions. I assumed it's because he's got to get up early in the morning to talk about this stuff. Mike assumed that it was Jets related. I still don't know who was right, but he blamed it on Boomer Esiason in Sports Minute while, again, singing a Tua song that I've never heard before.
So I'm driving in at a time I don't normally drive in at, especially on Mondays, and Brendan Tobin and Leroy Horde, who do the morning show on 790 The Ticket, they call Hour 2 Hour Tua, and they have all kinds of imaging that goes along with it, and so I'm now hearing it on a more consistent basis, and the song is stuck in my head. Combine that with a Boomer Esiason Sports Minute, which comes at you at 6:55 in the morning. I mean, it will set you off in a bad mood.
Well, what
man.
Happened with the Sports Minute? Was he talking about the Jets? Because we'll get to Chris Cody's emotional thoughts about this. He is wearing a Dolphins shirt right now that I assume he slept in. It looks like the kind of shirt that you sleep in. But we've been watching. Okay, this is interesting. This part, we have been enduring Jets Dolphins that no one else in the country cares about for two damn decades.
Yep.
That Jets Dolphins game. But in this one time, the Miami Dolphins have something to be supremely positive about beyond mocking the Jets. It's not just that they're 500, it's that they look good, well coached, and two back-to-back weeks now, you've got the rarest of Dolphin things, easy blowout wins.
Right.
Like, you got a shutout this time, but just wins that you've gotten control the entire time.
I think it's such an exciting time to be a Dolphin fan. You have a team that is good right now that's competing in the AFC East. They're 3-3. The division's not very good. The Patriots aren't as good as we thought they were going to be.
They're the third best team in the division. I think people would acknowledge that. I mean, even with that Patriots, the Patriots loss, I sort of, to Denver, I throw it away as a fluke because I don't know how any of these teams are going to react to the virus. Like, it's all weird.
No, and that's fair. But the Dolphins are plus 47. I think they've scored the third or fourth most points in the AFC, like the Dolphins. And they have Tua to look forward to, and they have two draft picks next year to look forward to. And Ryan Tannehill finally did him a big favor yesterday.
As the Texans,
beating the Texans.
Keep losing.
I'm not going to look at it as a fluke. Drew Lock and Fangio walking into Gillette Stadium and beating you when you've had a week to prepare. I understand their quarterback had COVID. I understand the defensive player of the year had COVID. They were out there. That was a shocking loss.
Well, it was a shocking loss, but what I would say about that loss is it's the first time a team has had multiple interceptions and won at Foxborough since 2001. At the end of the game, the Patriots were playing for the game, and all of a sudden the Broncos blitzed seven guys. And Cam Newton was under it on 4th and 10. I was surprised how aggressive Denver was on defense, but it's still just a fluky loss. Like, you still think the Patriots are good, do you not?
What's your definition of good? A playoff team?
Better than the Dolphins.
I don't know if they're better than the Dolphins. Yeah, they beat the Dolphins head-to-head week one that with an offense that nobody had seen game plan for, so I think it's certainly up for debate. I think good is playoffs, and I don't think the Patriots are a playoff team right now.
Cam looked very alone out there. Like, he looked like that's the reason Brady left. I mean, they have no offensive weapons. It was Cam running the ball every single time.
Cam operates in a special place where we like to make a lot of excuses for Cam. He wasn't good.
I think the Dolphins and the Patriots are very comparable. I think they both end up being around that 9-7, 8-8 mark. But I honestly think with everything the Dolphins did and Tua yesterday, the story was still how terrible the Jets are. Like, holy shit, Stugatz, are they terrible?
They're not even trying.
Like, I think the one play that encapsulates the Jets was that, like, 38-yard sack by Joe Flacco where he's just running backwards and, like, trying to turn left or right and has no options and then just gets sacked. Like,
day.
Oh, my God. And then the shots of Adam Gase, CBS going to break on just some classic, like, I don't know, some song I never heard
these
of.
These Eyes.
It's a classic song.
Yeah, These Eyes. Because but, of his piercing eyes. Adam Gase doesn't survive our show, right?
That's what I was thinking. I want to make that prediction. You think I was going to make that prediction.
I think he survived the year. Why would you want to bring a coach in who's going to try to win a few games? Adam Gase is actively trying. They're not trying, Mike. The team's not trying for him. They're not trying. And why would you replace him with Greg Williams, who in his mind's going to think, hey, if I can get four or five victories down the stretch here, I might have a job next year in the NFL.
Because the organization's trying to do the right thing and get out in front of their coaching search, evaluate some of the coaches they have on staff. I don't think he survives the day.
Billy, your thoughts here? Did I hear you harumph and be cynical? I thought there was something you were objecting to Dolphins-related. Did I hear you harumphing wrong?
Yesterday was a great day for Dolphins, Dan.
Great day.
Yesterday we found out that Tua was the right pick. Tua looked great. Now, I know it was limited time, but you could tell he has it. He passed the sniff test. They put him in what most people would say, you know, not a high leverage situation, but he got the ball on like his own like 4-yard line, drove him down the field, got him like, you know, 20, 30 yards. They only gave him two chances to throw the ball. What happened both times? Boom, completions. I think yesterday Dolphins knew, listen, all this Herbert talk, did the Dolphins make the right decision? What are they going to do? Are they going to regret that pick? No, they got their guy.
And Billy, did you see that handoff? I mean,
I mean, were those not the two most accurate passes you've ever seen in your life? I mean, just under pressure, scrambling.
Not just that, Dan. He did that with no training camp. That was the first time he saw live action NFL speed. He didn't have any preseason games.
He handed off so well those last 2 minutes. He really did. He looked so good.
Yeah. And you know what? They have depth at QB now. They have depth because Ryan Fitzpatrick very slowly creeping into the MVP conversation. So you wonder.
Hall of Famer, according to you. Hall of Famer, according to you.
I mean, I think his play this year is setting him up for a long-term deal.
Chris, that's funny you should say that because the Jets had him and he was decent with the Jets. He was himself with the Jets. And then he asked for a contract that was more substantive and the Jets gave him 1 year and insulted him.
I think he's the first quarterback to help his Hall of Fame case, Billy. He's the first quarterback to have 5,000 yards passing for three different teams, all three in the AFC East. Yes. Not one of them the Patriots.
He'll work his way over there, though.
We will get to Stugatz's Jets in a second, but I want to go back to the emotional moment because what Tua did yesterday better than anything for him and the franchise, he fed that hope machine, man, by being just after the game so grateful. Like, his relationship with his parents is an unusually strong one. Like, he is still, I remember during the Super Bowl, I was doing some corporate thing with him, and I was marveling at what a kid he is, and secondarily, how much he still leans on his parents. Like, I'm thinking we're going to be doing something here that is franchise quarterback for the Dolphins for the next 10 years, and he's just unusually close to his family, so that he would leave the field and in uniform, leave the locker room, sit down on the place where he got injured, and FaceTime his parents, a more cynical person might look at that and say, man, that's exactly the way I would do it if I was trying to take care of all of my branding, because like that was a moving photograph. But if you don't have that cynicism, that was a really nice thing that kid did in terms of gratitude and appreciation at a position where we expect these guys to be perfect.
Chris, is it indeed the spot that he got hurt? Because I remember a rollout near midfield and I saw the internet saying, oh, that's really poignant. He's doing it from the spot that he got injured. But then he was interviewed after the game. And he's like, this is where my last drive ended. So I wanted to be able to FaceTime my family from that spot.
That's, That's the way I took it. I thought he did it where the Dolphins drive ended. It might have been where the drive ended where he got hurt. I'm not really sure. But regardless, it was freaking adorable.
I mean, it was corny. It's corny.
Wow.
I would eat it up.
I would eat it up if Baker Mayfield did that after he beat the Jets on Thursday Night Football. But, I mean, 2 of 2 for 9 yards. Like, come on.
2 of 2.
What the hell you got to do when you actually have a good game?
This is probably not the time to do this, and this goes against what me and Chris planned, because I texted him like, man, tomorrow, no matter what, we just got to say how great Tua was and how they really got the answer and how we just have to upsell
everything. You planned that? That was planned? I thought that was just exceptional improv work by you. That was part of your plan.
I was impressed by what he did, but, and again, this isn't the time to do this, and maybe it's just been a long time since we've seen Tua. He looks small, man. Tua looked small yesterday.
Yes.
Compared to everybody else, I'm a little worried about Tua.
So does Kyler Murray. He's fine.
Yes. There are some guys in the league. Russell Wilson also looks small out there. Yes, Chris.
The corporate event that you and Tua did during Super Bowl time, did you guys connect over both, like, bringing your parents to it?
Did you?
Are you jealous that you didn't get to bring your dad to it?
That's right. You invite Tua to your bar mitzvah. The entire Tua family is coming. I can't say the last name.
Did you guys see the athletes in this sport? It is insane, right? Like, the evolutions in this sport are fascinating to me in that the offensives have gotten so fast, Stugatz, at getting rid of the ball that they've rendered basically a monster like Jadeveon Clowney isn't really wanted by anybody, doesn't have value because he's good against the run, but people don't run anymore. And he's good against the pass getting there fast, but people get rid of the ball too quickly. And one of these freak athletes is this Wilkins for the Dolphins, their first round pick. Did you guys see?
Insane.
I mean, it's insane.
Like, did he hurdle someone?
Yes. Well, he not only hurdled someone, this is the guy who does splits out of Clemson, and he's unbelievably athletic, but he just jumped straight over. How tall is Jones? How tall is it? Like, he was celebrating something, and Jones isn't that tall. He's like 5'11", but this 300-pound dude just jumped clear over him. Like, put his hands on his helmet and jump straight over it.
They said he jumped 6 feet easy, but I mean, that's football 6 feet, which could be anything. Yeah. Anywhere from like 5'8 to, 6'4.
How does a team get shut out in the NFL? It's a shocking thing.
I think
there was one point in the game where Joe Flacco yawned and was caught on camera yawning. That is a really bad team, and I know it's by design and we're all in on the tank, but you got to fire this coach. You got to.
They have sucked the life out of Joe Flacco. I mean,
how much life was there to suck?
There wasn't much left. They have sucked whatever life was left. They have sucked it out of him. Done.
They were in position to score at the end, but they went for touchdowns. They could have easily kicked a field goal and ended a shot.
Didn't they miss a field goal or two?
Yeah, they did.
I've got to ask you guys a question, all of you, as astute studiers of Stugatz, and also you've just got this labyrinth and this library of lies that stretches back decades. So he comes in here, and he sounded sour, Mike, with Bleep You, and you thought it was the Jets. And now he's doing this happy dance of this is what I like. I'm glad. I'm happy. We're losing like that. I do not believe that Stugatz watched that yesterday and was like, I'm glad we're doing this. This is the right play. I'm not going to be emotional about this.
I actually don't believe Stugatz watched it at all.
No, I did watch it.
Why is your hat covered in sweat stains? You played like what? How many holes this weekend?
Oh, I played a bunch on Saturday. Yeah, it was
because
beautiful.
That hat is sweatier than it's ever been.
It is. It's very sweaty.
It's caked onto it.
I had a sweaty Saturday. I played a ton of holes, but I did watch the Dolphin Jet game after I watched your Browns get destroyed because I had the Steelers. Sorry about that. I thought you had a football team. I was rooting for you. I really was, man.
All right. Can I get this out of the way? I know it's a local
hour. What is
he
saying? I had the Steelers. I was really rooting for you. Those two things, he wants.
I've had a bad team, like, as long as he's known.
Oh,
me,
he's
so
rooting
he's,
for you in general. He just wasn't rooting for my team. Well, it seems like he pivoted off of Jets talk straight into making fun of your Browns.
I did.
You can make fun of them today. That means they got destroyed.
I did.
They got destroyed.
Exactly what I did.
I Cleveland Browns take. They're still on pace for their best season since re-entering the NFL in 1999. I guess it's all about, look, they're a good team, but they're certainly not an elite team. I think they've lost to the Ravens and Steelers 76-13. So that's not good. They probably got to clean that up. Also, we're super injured.
That was a Jimmy Garoppolo type benching, right? Like, he's going to be back next week, right?
Yeah. He was super hurt. I mean, his last six quarters have been disastrous, and he got cracked in the ribs against Indianapolis. That being said, though, I don't care how hurt your ribs are. That first interception, that pick six where he didn't see Minkah Fitzpatrick, does that a lot, where there's just someone in the middle of the field. He's locked in on a receiver. I don't know if it's a height thing. I don't know if it's an eyesight thing, but he just doesn't see him, and he throws it right there, right directly to them. So they got question marks. I'm not too worried. I mean, the Steelers are better than the Browns. That's
no,
not really
but you
a
should
surprise.
Be worried because he's one of them. This many games into his career, you still don't know if you have a quarterback.
There's
no way of knowing, Mike.
I think he's hurt. The offensive line was banged up. I don't like that it's an absolute boat race. I would like it to be tighter. We've played two really good teams on the road and have gotten smacked in those games. The Browns seem to go as they go, as he goes.
It seems fairly obvious that the Steelers are really good, the Titans are really good, the Chiefs are really good. So you've got at the top of the AFC, and Baltimore's really good. And so that's the cream. Everyone else is playing for that fifth and sixth playoff spot, right? Barring injuries.
Well, there's an extra spot.
Yeah, there's so look, the Browns, I think, are going to be favored in every single one of their games in November. They have the Ravens at home. They have the Steelers at home. I've spent the last 20 years getting my head caved in by the Ravens and Steelers, so that's not very new. What's new is just my mentions blowing up every time the Browns lose to these teams now. It was ugly.
Something else that's new, Stugatz, because me, Mike, and Mina were talking about this yesterday, the way that the Steelers are using Roethlisberger. He's not doing any reckless things because he's not throwing it down the field very much. He's got, I think, one interception, unless he threw one yesterday. And there can't be a team in the league better at producing receivers than that one, right? Like, over the last...
It's pretty crazy.
In terms of, they just keep finding receivers everywhere over there since going back to Hines Ward.
Yeah, they keep developing guys. Hines Ward was a wide quarterback in college. Randall L. was a quarterback in college. Antonio Brown was a low-drafted player. Mapletron, the Canadian Claypool, he's stepped in there and he's assumed the number one wide receiver. They are a wide receiver factory out of Pittsburgh.
Juju is probably number one, right?
No, Juju.
So Juju becomes your number two because Claypool's developed that quickly?
Look at Juju's
game. That's great.
Logs.
That's Dan's point, though. That's awesome.
I think Juju best operates as a number two. It seems as though Claypool has taken that number one away from him.
Isn't Claypool going to be on Stupidity here, or is he already on Stupidity? You are on the hunt for Claypool.
We are we're hoping this week he will join me and Mike Golic Jr. for the second recording of Stupidity this week on Thursday.
So. But on your Big Ben point, how many yards did he throw for yesterday? He didn't need to.
Less than like 200.
100. Yeah, 150. The scary thing is the Browns defense actually played kind of well, but I do reserve my judgment somewhat on the Big Ben is back and they fix everything, because Big Ben has had horrible home road splits for the last 4 years. He is a different quarterback on the road. They've played one road game, a road game against Daniel Jones in an empty stadium that they had several weeks to prepare. Now they have three straight road games. We'll learn a lot about Big Ben.
He does have 11 touchdowns, one interception. I mean,
well, I haven't looked this up, and I'd be curious what this is, because Mike is citing home road splits, and I have no earthly idea how to do the measurements on what the home advantage is now. Is it just flights then that we're saying is the advantage? Like, Green Bay, through the first 5 weeks of the season, and it's been documented, their offense per drive was more efficient than any in the history of the sport.
Right.
And they go to Tampa, and they get slaughtered, 38-10. Aaron Rodgers plays as bad a game as I've ever seen him play.
It's a very good defense.
What is the? But yes, and a very good defensive line.
Yep.
That can get pressure with four. But, like, honest to God, I'm asking you, is the road home advantage going to be different in any way this year than it has been when there's a stadium full of people? Because I don't think Washington, you know, yesterday playing against the Giants.
Barely an NFL game.
I know. I know.
Can't really extrapolate much from that.
I just took it because it was a close game late, and you have a quarterback who's inexperienced.
Yeah, there are certain stadiums that have people in it, and there are certain stadiums that don't. New York is one of the stadiums that doesn't have any people. So the Pittsburgh Steelers have yet to play an NFL game on the road in front of fans this season. I think it's the travel mainly that affects them, but these fans do make noise occasionally, even though it's less than 20,000 fans there. You have seen some teams get jarred by the sound and go to silent count.
The Steelers go to Tennessee this week, so there'll be fans there. There were fans there this past week. I don't know how many more they'll allow
in. I guess what I'm asking you, though, is it's such a small number of fans, and it's such a minute amount of noise that I'm asking you, what is the real value? Because I'd always thought that the emotion of roaring crowd momentum stuff,
of course,
that it would mean something in terms of fueling a linebacker a little extra if he's fatigued late in the game. But I haven't looked it up, so I don't know over the first 5 weeks of the season if you have seen an empirical difference in when a team travels on the road. The point spreads have stayed largely the same. Like, the point spreads seem to be respecting the road the same way, but I haven't seen it. I guess what I'm asking you guys is, have a lot of road teams won this year?
I have to look it up.
Yeah, I'm checking it right now.
You don't have to look it up. We will look it up eventually. But the reason I'm asking you the question is because I don't know whether my eyes are lying to me or not. Because I'm not sitting here watching these games and fearing in any way if you you're rooting for the road team that they've got some sort of disadvantage because they're playing on the road.
Like, I don't know if the Raiders beat the Chiefs if Arrowhead has 75,000 fans there, but stuff happens randomly in the NFL. It just does. So I don't know.
I'm just going down all the road splits now.
Well, we should see the road records, right? Well, the Chiefs are 2-0 on the road. Bears are 3-0 on the road. The
Jets are really bringing down this home record.
Oh, shit, they're so fucking bad.
Yeah. Say what you want about crowd noise. All I know is when Tua came in yesterday, that place was buzzing.
Yeah, well, you could feel it.
Impressive. And that was like late in the game when that crowd, I think they're allowing, 13,000 fans? And most of those people probably left because it was late in the game. I mean, that place sounded packed.
Yeah. See, I'm going to my first professional sports game of the pandemic era Saturday night because I picked the last three Hurricanes games in my season ticket plan. And we're already there. Virginia, 8 o'clock start. I know that Tootsie's got us all back to Sodom and Gomorrah and everyone.
That was crazy. Awesome. What, awesome, you say, Chris?
I'm just saying it's such a Miami story. Like, that headline, I was just like, yep, that's us.
I mean, first of all, okay, so I don't know how they're doing this curfew thing around here, but sometimes it's 10 p.m., 11 p.m.
They're not doing it.
They're not doing it anymore.
Well, it was something where I heard police officers all the time on megaphones shooing people off the streets at 10, and then it was 11, and then it was midnight, and then there was political fighting between the governor trying to do Trump's work and open up the state in ways that lead the country, and our local leadership wondering, is this right, is it not right, and then that becoming partisan as well. But the end result is that there was a giant crowd outside of Tootsie's dressed for a nightclub, because nightclubs are back open now, right? 5 a.m. is now the time that we're doing this?
Yeah, nightclubs are back, some of them a lot safer than others. Tootsie's, I don't know if you guys saw Doug Hanks put this out there, the actual filing and the merits for erotic dancing and how it serves an essential purpose for people. But yeah, once Tootsie's was granted that court injunction, then it was the wild, wild west. Everybody just like, there's precedent, so we're all open.
Would it have value as the show that likes to fight for Miami stories to get Doug Hanks on to talk about the absurdity and the distinctly Miami nature of, we think that strip clubs at 5 a.m. are essential?
Yeah, I'll shoot him a message. I don't know if it matches a national show per se, but for like a big Sue or a post game.
No, but you could just call him now and we can.
I don't have Doug Hanks's number. Do you?
Oh no, I thought that I thought he was somebody you had spoken to.
No, I just saw his tweet, but I'll see if I can DM him.
I thought he was in the David Ovalle family of Miami. He is in that the stable of guys who love to report the weird stuff out of Miami.
He is most certainly in that family. I'm gonna shoot him a DM. Oh, he's DM'd me once without a follow. How'd that work?
Wow.
Stugatz,
how does that work?
Your Jets.
I follow him.
I want to get back to your Jets.
Why?
What do you guys think? What is the truth here? Tony, Roy, Chris, Billy, what is the truth? If you had agreed with Mike and said, I didn't watch the game, then I would say, okay, Stugatz is down with the tank. But the fact that you actually watched it, I can't imagine you watching 24-0 and not throwing things at your television, even if you're rooting for them to get Trevor Lawrence.
A couple things. I had the Dolphins yesterday, so that helped me watch it. I had Ryan Fitzpatrick as my backup in fantasy because Russell Wilson had the bye week, so I was watching that. I also had Jason Sanders, their kicker, And I was in a very close game. So I was watching the game. I wasn't watching for the Jets. I was watching more for the Dolphins and for me winning money.
Put it this way. I was texting with a couple people back and forth, and I was made supremely frustrated by the Jets. And I don't care about the Jets whatsoever. I could do the drive for you. Run, bad pass out of bounds. That happened 10 times throughout the game. And I was just like, I can't watch this anymore. And then we had a 9-game slate at the 1 o'clock. And then we had 2 games. And then one game was a blowout. The other game was a blowout. It was upsetting.
You have a quarterback who doesn't want to be there, who gave the appearance that he wanted out of there as quickly as possible. And by out of there, out of a Jets uniform for the rest of his life. You have a running back in Frank Gore gives you 3 yards at a time. I mean, in 2020, we're trotting out Joe Flacco and Frank Gore. We have no desire to win. We're not trying to win, and I'm totally okay with that. I am. I know it's – listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's not frustrating to watch when you're in it, but I know it's going to lead to something very, very valuable.
Well, but if you were totally okay with it, though, it wouldn't be frustrating to watch while you're watching it. If you were totally okay with it, like – I don't believe that you're totally okay with it. I think your team is embarrassing you weekly. And by being the clearly worst team in the league last year and frustrating Tony, who doesn't care about the Jets, I had that experience yesterday. I had the experience of like, God damn, Jets, again, you're going to be this shitty?
I think what's frustrating is it doesn't even feel like a win. Like for Dolphin fans, you watch the team. It was like your team was out there by themselves. It doesn't even feel like a major victory at all. It doesn't feel like anything.
And you have a defensive coordinator who's trying to sabotage everything.
Yeah. That's so good.
I love him.
So Greg Williams, of course you do, because he's as shady as you are. Greg Williams, who was assistant coach for a while in a disguise after he made his way back into the league after being kicked out because he was trying to injure people on purpose during the concussion age. That guy on Friday says he had the audacity to say that his defense is giving up 32 points, but it's not all on the defense, which of course pisses Gase off.
And then he said he wasn't trying to undermine his head coach.
I know, but Gase even said, yeah, that bothered me. But we talked about it, and you're so right, though, Chris. Absolutely. You're both right. Greg Williams is absolutely angling to see if he could win 4 games in a Jets uniform so that they consider him for the head coaching job next year.
Yep. And listen, don't buy into whatever it is Gase and Joe Douglas are giving off. Okay, that anger, they're frustrated. They don't. This is exactly what they want, okay? I mean, Joe Douglas doing a great job looking, giving the appearance that he's upset. There are big smiles under that mask, I promise you.
No, not by Gase, though. Gase knows he's fired at the end of all this. He's not making it through this next season.
See, that's the tricky part. I was trying to tell you this last week. Adam Gase, the reason Joe Douglas is the GM is because Adam Gase hired him to be the GM. So now Joe Douglas is going to fire the guy that got him the job? I'm not so certain. I think Adam Gase could be the coach next year. I know that sounds crazy.
It does, man. He's not going to be the coach tomorrow.
Why? He would have been fired by now.
Dude, he looks on the sidelines. He is so like...
selling.
There's
it.
No way. There's no way.
He's a used car salesman.
He's got all these guys being professional actors, honest to God, because he's one, and he's out here pretending that he's good with this. He thinks that Adam Gase and Joe Douglas are good being the laughing stock of the league, the only team shut out yesterday, and the only team that is actively frustrating people who aren't fans of the team and don't care about the team because they're just so shitty.
They're the only winless team. I mean,
they're the only winless team and the only team that got shut out yesterday.
Yeah.
They're also not going to find their next head coach week 6 of the previous season. So to Stugatz's point, like, who cares, right? There was no expectations for them to begin with. What difference does it make if Gase coaches or doesn't coach the rest of the season?
At this point, you have to go for Lawrence. Why bring it, as I said earlier, why bring in a guy who's going to actively try to win games when you have a guy who's not trying to win games, whose players don't want to win a game for him? That's it. I mean, it's perfect. It's set up perfectly. This is it. Dream season.
Set up perfectly. Dream season for the Jets. They're the only winless team in the league and the only team to not score yesterday. And only a Jets fan would be so wounded by his history that he would say that is a perfect start to the Jets season. I'm curious, Mike Ryan. I didn't understand what you were saying when you said he doesn't last our show. I didn't know whether you meant that our show's not going to last very much longer or whether you meant today's show.
He doesn't last today's show.
You don't think you?
I think we're a surefire Adam Schefter notification on my phone away today.
Really?
Yeah. Doug Hanks just DM'd me back. Well, I'm gonna give him a call right now.
All right, let's talk to him because people are gonna want to hear about this crazy Tootsie situation. How it is that strip clubs in South Florida are essential.
I'll let you know when I got them. But also, by the way, I'm trying to research year over year. I need to find last year's numbers. But right now, season to date, away teams are covering at a 54% clip. It's still early. This is a very small sample, and I need to couple it with previous years. That's been harder to find.
Well, forgive me on this, because I was wondering. I know that you guys have sort of learned on the job as it's gone on in terms of producing the show. But I'm not actually sure what the deal is with our stats and info department and how often you guys actually pick up a phone and call stats and info. Because I was asking Mina yesterday during the game, you saw what the Texans did against the Titans, where they were up 7 and they went for 2 late to put the game out of reach.
I did see that. Yeah, terrible call.
So I was asking her the math before deciding whether it was a terrible call or not, and she called an analytics department, and they broke down the whole thing for her, and it wasn't, according to the math, a bad call.
She could have called me. I would have told her it was a bad call.
Well, Dan, Mina has some access to very high-level people in the stats and information department. I, being a little bit more of a lowly person in that department, have access to a Slack channel that we can send out a question into, and then maybe in a couple hours somebody will write me back.
Okay, well, let's try that with whether the road to, like, what are the differences? The question, I guess, is what's the difference in an actual home field advantage so far in the football season this year as compared to any normal year?
Yeah, let's apply the context of against the spread, too, because teams are going to perform as they are expected to, so usually worse teams are going to get creamed. Like, the Jets are going to bring down every single one of our stats. Dunk Hanks is there, by the way.
Hold on, AFC Billy has this season's 19-24 on the road. The NFC is 22-23 on the road.
Okay, so
it's not overwhelming.
Do we know what it was? What it's been in previous years?
No. Well,
we just keep asking questions that give them more work. So Doug Hanks is with us from the Miami Herald. I mean, Scott, you've gotten very good at that over the years.
What? Looking everything up?
I'm just telling them that you need more and more information.
Well, I was just wondering if we knew. That's all. I was just asking.
He's just spent the last 40 minutes looking up the stats he just gave you.
It didn't take him 40 minutes. I mean, yeah.
He was complaining last segment. He's like, I'm buried in a road and home split thing. And then you ask him, yeah, give me all throughout history. Thanks, Billy.
Sorry, Bill.
Last year, Baltimore 7-1 on the road.
Boom. See? Quick.
So Doug Hanks is with us. Thank you for being on with us. Thanks for getting back to us so quickly. Can you just tell us about the insanity that makes a nightclub at a strip club essential so that it can have a 5 o'clock in the morning curfew?
You mean the landmark legal victory caused by the erotic dancers at Tootsie's?
Yes.
Yeah.
In Florida's, yeah. I mean, that was a big part. I mean, to a certain extent, a strip club was the perfect business to challenge the curfew because a vital part of its business is going to be after midnight. And so they made the argument, how can this order stand when we have the Florida governor telling local governments, you can no longer restrict the capacity of restaurants? And Tootsie's has food service, so it has the food license that was covered by the governor's order, which told local mayors, you can't reduce capacity at restaurants below 50%. So one of the many arguments Tootsie's made is, listen, at midnight, our capacity goes down to 0% because of this order, and a judge agreed with them.
All right, so for the uninitiated, can you please explain to non-South Floridians what Tootsie's is, beyond, obviously, an entertainment, a strip club? I mean, it's a little more than that.
Well, I actually don't know. Maybe you can fill it in.
I'm talking about size. I'm talking about the size of the place.
It's a
warehouse.
It's just a big strip club.
It's the world's biggest strip club.
It's like, among the biggest in the world. Yeah, it's like an old Costco's warehouse. Yeah. It's a Costco's that they turned into an erotic dancing gentleman's club.
Right.
I love that Doug pleaded ignorance.
No, but no, I understand why Doug's confused. You made it seem like it also, like it morphs into a department store.
No, I think what, no, I think the thing that what he thought I was doing is wondering whether or not it morphs into prostitution and champagne room.
No, we're not going to put anybody in that position.
I would never.
Yeah. It also has a sports bar as a part of it. That's a fairly huge sports bar.
It's also got an entire sports league in one of the back rooms. They play an entire XFL season.
Miami's actually playing their home games there.
So, Doug, what did you find interesting about this landmark legal case?
Well, I mean, there was so much interesting. But first, it squarely puts COVID regulation in Miami-Dade County on the desk of Governor DeSantis, because at this point, the governor has essentially stripped all or almost all of the mayor's power to regulate businesses when it comes during the COVID emergency. He's still saying, listen, we're still enforcing social distancing rules at restaurants. We're still endorsing interior use of masks, which they can shut down a restaurant for if you don't do that. But one of his biggest and most controversial weapons since July was the curfew, which he said he imposed because they felt that a lot of spread, especially among young people, is happening kind of overnight at house parties and at restaurants that were sort of doubling as bars when the bars were shut down. And with the curfew in place, you know, a police officer could really pull you over for anything, which I think was probably a big disincentive for people going out. But with this ruling, the judge said because of the governor's order really limiting what mayors can do, the mayor over the weekend said, we really can't enforce this curfew at this point. They're appealing, but at this point they really can't.
Dan, it was actually, before they converted it, it was actually a BJ's wholesale club.
Even funnier.
Kind of knew it, but I didn't want to put myself out there.
I mean, knowing a little too much?
Well, not just that, but the wordplay is just a little on the nose. I would think...
Not the nose.
Doug, why Tootsie's? Why is Tootsie's the vessel for this? There's plenty of powerful nightlife institutions in Miami, yet all the other nightlife entities have held up this Tootsie's ruling. How powerful is Tootsie's in the community?
Well, I mean, they've got really good lawyers. And, you know, they were the first to get to the judge and say, this is unfair. And the judge agreed. So, you know, that case really changed the law in Miami-Dade County, unlike anything we've seen during this emergency in 2020. So credit Tootsie's on that, or blame Tootsie's, wherever you fall on that.
Chris,
and Tootsie's put out a statement saying, listen, we're still enforcing social distancing. We're still very careful. We just want to be open past midnight. A lot of people said, like, listen, what's the situation here? COVID doesn't stop spreading at midnight or stop spreading at 10 p.m. You know, there's no time connected to the spread. Well, what's the curfew do? So it was definitely a controversy.
He started one sentence. They have a great. I thought he was talking about their prime rib because, man, is it good there.
Yeah, ooh, good prime rib.
The Aju sauce. Yeah. They also made an argument as an essential business, and that kind of went viral. I think it was your tweet. Mm. What can you tell us about that?
Did they say essential? Well, I don't really recall them saying essential business, but maybe they did. I mean, it's a very long pleading. I might have missed that, but what they said, I mean, the language was incredible, about like kind of the mission statement of a strip club and how they felt they were helping people express a healthy relationship to eroticism or whatever it was. But that was, they were, along with kind of arguing about the governor's order, they were arguing that their dancing constituted free speech. And so forcing him to stop that at midnight was a violation of the First Amendment. And then they said, you're violating, you know, the public's right to enjoy this entertainment, which we consider speech. So it got pretty lofty there for a little bit.
Would you do me a favor, Doug? And Roy's got a question here. But if you would be so kind, can you just read to us your favorite couple of sentences from your piece?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would love to have...
Oh, he knows him. He's confident.
He's like, oh, yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
Duff Man all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I'd like to...
scroll back.
We'll wait for you. Just tell us when it is you're ready. Roy, what is it that you wanted to ask Doug? Because you were very eager to get in here.
Let's say that there's a city or a county in this state that wants to defy the governor's orders on the curfew. What would be the ramifications of that? Would they be fined, or what would happen there?
Meaning, if a business somewhere in the state defied a COVID restriction?
Yes.
I mean, the businesses are free to be as strict as they want. They can be stricter than what the governor's allowed. But if the governor said the governor basically said that it's okay to keep restaurants at 50% if they have enough room to spread out, which I'm sure Tootsie's does, by the way, then they would be subject to whatever emergency order violations there are in place in their city or county. Like in the county, it's jailable. It's a criminal offense. So.
Oh wow. All right. So he's looked it up. Yeah. I could hear in that answer that he was looking for funny sentences or good sentences.
Down.
I know you were. I could feel you were. I put you in the bad spot of stopping talking and making you talk and look. All right. You're ready to go
there's
now.
Let me touch these tweets here. But yes, I'll read this for you.
All right. Okay, so, but hold on. This is what I'll do for you, Doug. This is what I will do. You just stay there for a second. Just go ahead and find your couple of favorites, and I'd like to end the segment with you just reading to us. In the interim, Chris was—he took off his dolphin shirt and he was whipping it over his head. There was some jiggling, freckled emotion coming out of him because when was the last time, Chris, that you were as happy about your dolphins as you are right now today? When's the last time it felt like this? Was it Chad Pennington, Bill Parcells?
I think it's the Wildcat, Dan.
The Wildcat. Wow. Good Lord. We're going back a ways. So Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams and neither one. And Tony's, good Lord, he's not even with us. He's not even with us. I was going to say, neither running back is still in the league, obviously, but the coach isn't even on the earth. Okay, that took a dark turn.
Weird.
Yeah. All right. So are you ready, Doug? Are you ready to give us your favorite sentences from a Miami Herald article about why Tootsie's is essential?
Yeah, this is what Tootsie's Cabaret said in their filing. Plaintiffs maintain that the human body is a thing of beauty, which, when combined with music and rhythmic motion in the form of dance, conveys an important message of eroticism. Plaintiffs believe that providing this form of expressive communication to the public is a beneficial social activity, which enhances individuals' conscious ability to assimilate and consider various issues involving sexual candor and the interest in human sexuality that all human beings have to a greater or lesser degree. Plaintiffs further believe that this expression enhances the appreciation of the human body with an emphasis on the consideration of popular contemporary concepts of physical attractiveness and the stimulating and entertaining aspects of same, which are clear characteristics of a normal and healthy interest in human sexuality.
thank you, Doug.
Were you laughing when you typed that? Were you laughing?
Can't argue with that, man. I can't argue with that.
Thank you, Doug. We appreciate your time and your work.
All right. Thanks a lot. See you, Doug. Talk to you later.